scripture. So we're going to be in Genesis 22 again. I'm going to come at it different. If each one of us spoke on the same scripture, every one of us would be able to see something different in it that we could then give to someone else. So it's not that we're contradicting, because I think we're all flowing together in what God is doing. He is calling us as women to come to the altar because He has something for us. And I gave you some definitions of what it means to come to the altar. And Carolyn has shared some things. So you have something to take home with you other than just the messages. Let's bow our heads. God, we are here today, Lord. And God, I am just overwhelmed at your presence and your word that you're bringing forth for us, Lord. I am always, God, amazed at how much you love us. The tenderness of your word, the desire to work in us. God, we stand amazed at your greatness. We come today, Lord, and we have picked up our rocks. We have our instruction, and we are going to take the things that you're putting your finger on. And we're going to take a journey in a few weeks, and we're going to build that altar and leave that with you, God. So, Lord, touch every heart that is here. Continue to press in on us, Lord. Continue to speak to us, God. And Lord, let, as my sister was saying, let your fire burn away the things in us that separate us or to cause us to stand a distance from you, Lord. Our desire is to draw near to the altar. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are here today called by God to come to the altar. And sometimes we think, well, I made a decision to come. God is always there. For those who believe in Him, He is always moving us. Sometimes we don't realize it, but He is always moving us. Altars are a memorial of places where God meets with us. Sometimes we don't think about that, but at every altar, it is where God is meeting with those who are coming. Altars also represent the occasion and place where we have had a personal encounter with God. It may not be a physical altar, but it is a place where you have had an encounter, where Jeanette was talking about going back to that first altar, to that first place you met with Him, to be reminded of your first love. Altars appear throughout the Bible. And God has a place, I want you to listen to this, of altering for us. Altars change things, and God desires a change in us. I'm going to tell you, this is straight from the throne of heaven. God desires a change in every woman that's sitting here. There is not one woman who is excluded, except that you exclude yourself. But He desires a change, and it will not change outside of an altar. Without you meeting with Him, there will be no change towards God. There will be a change away from God. And you can take that to the bank. Altars have a price. We don't want to hear that in the days that we live in. We don't want to hear that it costs us anything. God intends today that something be altered in us. That's why He's building on this. He desires something to be altered in each one of us. So let's look at what it takes to build an altar. Rocks are broken things, right? Because God does not want man-made, chiseled-out altars. He never accepts those. It has to be from the earth. It has to be something. He doesn't want you to go out and make something beautiful and present it to Him on an altar. He wants you to take the rocks, put them together, because when you bring something to the altar, it's not a beautiful sight. This is not beautiful because there are animals that are slaughtered, and it is flowing with blood. And that has to change something. And so, but we maybe here have lived a life that maybe there's been some explosions in your life. Maybe we thought we had it all together and then pow! It's in a million little pieces. In some lives here today, there's been a slow grinding away. We think that it's solid, that everything's solid around us. And we know, we see it slowly, but we're still trying to hold it together. And we think, well, we can live this way. And then it starts to just break apart. There's a rumbling and it starts breaking apart. And we can't pull it back together. And then there are some here today who are living and they say, I have the promise of God fulfilled in my life. I can give testimony to that. You may have had a lot of rocks beforehand, but you can say that. So we can take all the rocks from the explosions in our life, or from the grinding away and the breaking away, and we can arrange them before the Lord as an altar. Or this is a thought for you, especially since Darlene has the biggest rock. You can drag those rocks around you and be burdened down by them. But this is even better. When you get frustrated and you're lugging them around and you get mad, you can throw them at somebody else. Women, I'll tell you what's one of the things that are different about us and men. There are a multitude of differences, no matter what the world tells you. There is a world apart with us and men. We women do throw rocks. We throw rocks, we stand back, we size people up. Men aren't like that. Men will put their guard down, and they are really what they say they are. But not us. I think that's why we wear makeup. I'm only teasing. I think any old barn needs a little paint, so. But we can decide what we want to do with that. I want you to take a moment and I want you to think. Does any of this apply to me? I have my promise from God. But what the Lord wants here today is for us to bring those broken things before Him and put them down. How many of us have some rocks in our life? How many of us have had some slow grinding away? Not just an explosion, but some slow grinding away. It doesn't even matter what age you are. Let me tell you what, today Satan has turned the heat up. He is beyond hot. It's like with the furnace. He's heated up 7 times hotter on this generation. And it is a difficult thing. When you see that there are children who are committing suicide, you got to know that it is a hot, hot fire. And so... What is he asking of us? He wants us to bring the broken things. He wants us to put them down before him. He wants us to build an altar and give it all to him. How many times have you ever given it all to him? He wants us to bring those explosions, not to keep them and to hide them, because you can't hide them from him. He wants you to take those things that are breaking apart, or the very promise fulfilled, and lay it on the altar. The price of altering is that you have to pour your life out, saying, Lord, I come and present myself to you. I present my good life that you gave me. I present my explosions, and I present to you my breaking apart. At the altar, the price is paid for renewal. It is the place where we desire Him and His desire be fully worked out in our lives. And that's the thing. Do you want what God desires for you? I can tell you this. God's promises are yes and amen. And they were not only to Moses. They were not only to Sarah. They were not only to Jacob. His promises are yes and amen to us. This word that is recorded, the Old Testament is not just a historical book. It is all of the promises of God apply to his people. Everybody doesn't need the same thing. Everybody doesn't have the same rock that they're going to bring. And so God is working in different places, but what he does require is surrender. There is not one person, there's not one person that he does not require surrender from. Because without surrender, the desire of God can never be worked in your life. He will never force it on you. He wants you to desire what he desires for you. That has to become your desire, the will of God. Let's look at Genesis 22, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father, and he said, My father? And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. We have here recorded here of Abraham's the fourth and the final altar. There are four altars that Scripture records that Abraham built. The first one in Genesis 12 was the altar of praise, where he praised the Lord for bringing him in. The second altar was the altar of prayer. That was at Bethel. And the third altar was the altar of peace, and that was after he separated from Lot. There was a peace offering that he made. This altar here is called the altar of provision, but I'm going to call it the altar of love. That is what God was showing me. What was happening here? It was to sacrifice, but it was an altar bringing the love of Abraham's life. This is the most important altar in the life of Abraham, and thus it is for us. Because as Jeanette was saying and as Carolyn was saying, it's a progression. You're growing. And when Abraham arrived in the promised land, he really was basically a new Christian. He had believed God. He had left. He had come. But here he was a new Christian at 75 years old. And then there comes the walking out. So the first thing you do when you get saved is you praise the Lord, right? And then there is the prayer. Peace and then provision or love. And so to offer to God what he has given to us in grace, that's what we see here. How many of us so appreciate God's gift to us? When he gives us something, we appreciate it, don't we? And we hold on to it tightly. And how many of us say, let me give you testimony. We want to give testimony that anyone will hear when God has given us a word and that word is fulfilled. When we see that word being fulfilled, we are quick to give testimony of that. When God has given us such a good gift, when God has fulfilled that word. I know some are waiting, some have seen it come to pass, and then, you know, we don't know when it's going to happen. And maybe some say, I've not received that word yet. This altar of provision is probably the hardest. This is probably the hardest altar. And I'm going to, like I said, change the name of it to love. Because this is the altar that Abraham brought the person he loved the most. He loved Isaac. It says, take your son, whom you love. Isaac was not only the son whom he loved, but he was every promise that God had given him. Everything that God had spoken to him. For those 25 years, he had waited on him. And so when you think about Isaac, and I know most of you know this, Isaac was not the size of Thomas. He was not Thomas's size walking up there with his father. He was not the size of Jared walking up there with Abraham. He was most likely an adult. 20, he could have been a little bit older than 20, but he was an adult male walking with his father, going up that mountain to that place, carrying that wood on his back. And his father's got the knife and the fire, but there is no lamb. And so Abraham was taking that son that he loved, that promise that God had given him, all that he had believed God for. How many of you here can say, I have a promise from God. I have it right here with me. I can look at it. I know what he said. He gave it to me through somebody. He spoke it to me in prayer. This is fulfilled. Look at this. This is my promise from God. I don't have all these explosions. I don't have all these broken rocks. But this is what God gave me. And we have it all wrong in our thinking. Part of it is you don't realize how much the world has influenced you with your thinking and even in your spiritual walk. When we think that God will ask us to work for him rather than he will tell us to offer back to him what he's given us. We would much rather God say, I need for you to go over here and do the work in the church. We need you to do evangelism. You'll say, whew, at least I don't have to give up that good gift you gave me, God. I'm hanging on to that. So as you're sitting here, I'm thinking, because this is what was going through me when I was listening to the Lord on this, are you feeling a little, your heart racing? Getting just a little emotional? Thinking about the thing you love the most? 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 Are you thinking about that? Is it a little bit mind-numbing, that thought? God, at such a time as this, may say, you have received a gift from and of me. He does not request. He says, now give back to me what I have given you. We know that God has many good works for us to do. And we expect to hear that. We would much rather hear that than what Abraham heard. But we never imagine that he may require us to give back to him that which he has given to us. God never accepts what we have. What you have in your hand is not what he wants, unless it's been given to him, given to you by him. I want you to look at Abraham's life. We're not going to go back through it, but you know the story of Abraham. God rejected Lot. Abraham came there. God never told him to leave with Lot, first of all. Even though he had no children, he took his nephew, and he was a grown man. But Abraham, in his own mind, had already worked this out, that Lot would be his heir, his nephew. This will be my heir. This was his own doing. We tend to do this within families, don't we? We look around and we determine within our own family that this is what we will do, when God never said, take your nephew with you. God never said, take that family member with you. He said, leave your family. Leave every one of them. Leave everything that's familiar to you, because I can't do a work with you as long as you are in the midst of your family. Now, don't throw that rock at me. But God rejected Lot. God rejected Eleazar. I think Jeanette read that scripture about Eleazar. He was the servant. He had been with Abraham for decades. And he said, okay, God, I don't have any kids, so it's going to be this servant. This is who it's going to be. I'm going to give everything to him. God said no. And then Sarah and Abraham said, yes, oh, I'm not supposed to bear the heir. It's supposed to be Hagar. How many of us have ever created an Ishmael? Yes. Some of us won't admit it. But God rejected every one of them. He doesn't want what you can do in your flesh. He doesn't want your talent. And any gift you have comes from him. He will take the one who can't sing and cause them to be the praise and worship leader. So you guys better run if he ever calls me to be praise and worship leader. He wants that good and perfect gift that he's given you. Isaac is born. Everything concerning Isaac was of God and by God. It was nothing to do with the flesh. Sarah knew that. Abraham knew that. Everyone within that entourage that Abraham had, they knew that. It was not 5, 10. You may not realize, because you don't see this on the pages, but Abraham most likely had thousands. There were thousands within his camp that he was leading, spiritually. Abraham was not by himself with all of this. He was leading an entire camp. And he was leading them spiritually also. But everyone knew that Isaac was that fulfilled promise of God to this man, to this woman. They were all could bear witness to it. They could give testimony to the fulfillment of God in this life. And they saw how much Abraham loved this young man. How he had loved him, how Sarah had loved him and cared for him. What is the Holy Spirit speaking here today? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you today? What is he speaking to you today? Where is he touching you? Where is he pressing in on you? What is that thought that keeps all day long? Or you've thought about coming here and you have an idea. What is it? Isaac was a miracle. In Isaac were all the promises of God. Everything. Everything. Everybody here has some form of Isaac in their life. Don't say, well, I haven't been walking with God long enough. If you are a Christian, and if you have been, as Jeanette says, training your ear to hear from God, you've heard something. And there's not an age where God doesn't require anything. How many of you think, well, I'm too young. I still live at home. I'm still single. I don't have all this stuff to give to God. What does he want from you? He wants surrender. He wants surrender. Absolute, complete, total surrender. Am I there yet? I'm still walking with the Lord. But I'm telling you, I know what he wants from us. This last altar that we are looking at today is the most important one, as we said. It's the most important one for us as a Christian and for Christ followers. How so? What are you saying to us? You may be sitting there rejecting what I'm saying. You say, I don't like the way she talks. I don't like the way she presents it. I don't like the way she says it. I don't like her presence. I don't like anything about it. This is not the Bible I've read. I don't receive it. Then you've not been reading the right Bible. You've been listening to the wrong voices. First, we reason, I heard from God. And I know that this is the very promise is from the throne of God. And I have peace. And I enjoy fellowship with God. He spoke this to me. This promise he spoke to me. I don't care what you say. Okay, I'll listen to you, but nope. Second, you could be thinking, this cannot be from the Lord. How could God want me to give Isaac back to him? He promised this to me. He confirmed this promise, and now he has fulfilled it. Why would he now waste all that he has been doing with me? Why would he waste it? God is not a God of waste. Nothing is wasted. God loves those whom he has redeemed. And I want to just make sure you understand this. Do you understand? Have you felt? Do you know the love of God? The embrace, the tender whispers, the closeness, the drawing near, the love of God, his desire to be with you. God loves those whom he has redeemed. God has a purpose for every life here. It is a popular theme that goes out that God has a purpose. But it is true. God has a purpose. You are not just created to just be put on this earth, left to yourself to try to figure it out. He has come to live in those who have called upon him, to direct us in his word and by his spirit. His spirit illuminates it for us that we may know him. And he desires, you know, he tabernacles. I love that. I love it. I know it's such a Old Testament word. But he tabernacles. He tabernacles with us. And so he has such a great love and purpose for us. He wants Abraham, your heart. He wants an undivided heart. For our young single ladies, this doesn't apply to you as much now. But for mothers, for married women, it applies to us. How many of us, our hearts are divided? We first get a husband. We have children. And then some of us who are grand, like grandmothers, then you have that. And it's all pulling at you. I'm not even talking about work or things like that. For the young ladies here, it can be school, friends. It can be thinking of your future, a boyfriend, a boy that you got your eyes on. And it can be family. All of those things are desiring to pull your heart away from the Lord. And so your heart is divided. God says, I want an undivided heart. How does that happen? How do we live in this life? How do we live in this world and have an undivided heart? Ladies, sisters, friends, and I love what John says, beloved. How many of us have never learned the lesson of offering back to God what he has given to us? Have you received a gift from him? Have you received that long-awaited word of promise from God? That today is what he is wanting to speak to you about. That today is what he's saying, this rock that you have. You have, I think it's 2 weeks carry this rock. Abraham walked 3 days. You're going to have 2 weeks with this rock. The thing that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Don't hold on to it, because sooner or later, let me tell you what, God will say, give it back to me. Give me that gift which I have given to you. How many of us grasp even tighter at the thought? How many of you today are rejecting it altogether? And how many of you at the start of it closed your mind to it? Because we have all of those scenarios going on in here. God called Abraham to take what he loved, Isaac. God says, your only son. So when we think about it, we say, well, he had another son. No. In the eyes of God, Isaac was the son. That was the place in Abraham's heart that Isaac held. He was the only son. Sarah was not the one that held Abraham's heart. And believe me, that's a beautiful love story, Abraham and Sarah. But she was not the one who held Abraham's heart. It was Isaac. And I believe, it's not in Scripture recorded, so this is extra biblical. I believe that when every time Abraham, he looked at Isaac, because you've got to remember, he's been walking with the Lord close to 40 years maybe. Maybe 50 years. He's been walking with him a long time. He's been worshiping at altars for a long time. He has this promise. God has provided for him. God has not beaten him up with a stick every time he stumbled and fell. God picked him up. God was watching over him. He took the wife that he loved, who was barren, that he'd had to watch all these years suffer that shame, and he restored her body to new, and he brought forth that child. He watched her with this child. He saw him run and play in the camp, and every time he looked at him, he was like, that is my promise from God. And he would just draw him a little bit closer, and he would hug him a little bit longer, and he would linger a little longer with him, and teach him and instruct him. Take him with him when he went to the altar. He'd say, come on, Isaac, you bring the lamb this time. This was what he loved, but he had a love for God. He had a love for God. There was no one else who held the highest place in the heart of Abraham. Ishmael did not. His riches did not. His name, his reputation did not, but Isaac did. God was not calling Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Never one time does God ask you to take the life of anyone. You need to remember that. God wanted the heart of Abraham. He wanted the throne. Who belongs on the throne? God, and God only. Not Isaac, not your Isaac, nor my Isaac. But the throne belongs to God. So who or what is on the throne of your heart? What's on the throne of your heart? That's why I say that this is an altar of love. He said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. I'm not going today to try and name the things for you that maybe we love so much. The Holy Spirit. I'm not the Holy Spirit, but he is able. He's able to speak to you, and maybe he's already spoken to you. Maybe it's something that's very difficult, but it's something that must be done. The days that we live in, do you want the things of God? Because if you're not desiring the fire of God, this world desires to quench, even if you have a spark. Mm-hmm. Ladies, you don't know that God will bring you back to hear this again. You don't know. If you reject what you hear today, you don't know that you don't know that this may be the last time he's calling you to hear this. You can play around, or you can reject, or you can be distracted, or you can just say, I don't want to hear any more of this. It's time for me to leave. But it is a time to go forward. That's what God's calling us to. He's calling us as a church. God has been doing a progressive work in the men over the months. I don't know if any wife here can give testimony to it. I can give testimony to it. I don't know the words they're saying, but I can hear those men loving one another, crying out to God, and loving God. Loving that time together. And what's stopping us? We need to love one another. We need to come and be that coal that causes you to get a little warmer. And then she and Missy can come over here, and then all of a sudden we're like red hot. Because we're not putting up walls. Maybe I'm not saying anything. Whatever it is. Most of us would say we love God. If you would say that, just raise your hand. If you would say you love God. But honesty now prevails upon us to be obedient in response to our words and to God's word. Take now your love, your only love, whom you love, and go to the land and offer your love there as a burnt offering. You're going to have 2 weeks, ladies. 2 weeks. Don't be beating yourself up. He's not sitting on the throne. He doesn't have a bull whip. He doesn't have a cattle prod. And he does not have a... What? Yes. But you need to take... God's not up there trying to beat you up with something. So these 2 weeks are not for you to come under condemnation. If anyone comes under condemnation, that is straight out of the pits of hell. It's not coming from this pulpit today. So you reject that and you say, God, what is it that I have allowed to be resident on the throne other than you? We will follow our father of faith, which is Abraham. We will rise up and we're going to go to the place where God has told us to go. And we will offer back to God the very promise he had spoken to us. Now, if you have had an explosion, and that is the all-consuming thing in your life for the past year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, and you can't get past it, because that is the thing that remains on the throne of your heart. Bring it. If it's been a slow grinding away and just breaking apart and you can't hold things together anymore, write it down. Let's take it. Let's offer it back to God. If it is the thing that you just, that's the word, I know it's the word, and I'm not giving it up for nobody because I know that the devil must have sent you to tell me to give it up. We will offer back to God the very promise that he's spoken to us, the testimony that we have given of a fulfilled promise. We will give it back in worship. We will put a knife to it. This has nothing to do with me. I don't even know how to say it. Years ago, Mark was praying that God would give us a house. I didn't even know he was praying about that. So this is a material thing, not something else. But it was a material thing. And he said, God, just give us a house. You've given this one a house, you could give us a house. God gave us a house, title free. didn't owe a penny on it. And when Mark and I moved into the house, we got our stuff in. I remember we moved in and we stood in the living room. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? I said, what are we going to do when God says, give it back? And so he said, we're going to give it back to him. So you should be able to receive with one hand and be able to give back. And right then and there, we said, okay, we just took that house and we said, God, it belongs to you. And so when you say give it back, we will give it back. And there was a time that God called us to give it back. God wants to know, will you put a knife to it, to the very thing that you love? There are many things our flesh is able to do. Lot, Eleazar, Ishmael. But these are not gifts for the altar of love. This altar requires a completely surrendered heart. What do we want to hear? Abraham heard God. That's the first thing. Second thing is he rose up and he took Isaac. He went on a 3-day journey walking. He was not driving his SUV or his Jeep. Anytime he could have turned around. But he marched on with Isaac. When God spoke to Abraham, he didn't question God. It's not recorded for us. We can think about what went through his heart. I think about as a parent. I have a grandson who wants to go in the military, and I don't want to sacrifice my grandson in the military. I appreciate everyone who serves. But if that's what the Lord wants, then I'm for it. But just the thought of it. But there's nowhere recorded for us. So we can elaborate within our own emotions, our own thinking. But he immediately rose up. And so my extra biblical in this is so that you'll know when I'm telling you what's in Scripture and what's not in Scripture. This is my own thinking with this. I believe that Sarah knew. I believe that Sarah knew. I believe that Abraham and Sarah were at a place. Abraham didn't keep secrets. We don't see that he kept secrets. I believe he told Sarah. This was a joint effort in their part. I don't believe that he took him and he left and Sarah did not know. I believe that he walked out of there. Sarah was left. And Abraham and Isaac walked on. He did not question God. He believed God. He did not have the Holy Spirit living within him. Like everyone here today who professes to be a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives within you. He can do something in you that he can't do in Abraham. Abraham had faith without the residing of the Holy Spirit. He was obedient without the residing of the Holy Spirit to give him the strength. And when he heard God, he rose up and he cut the wood himself. This elderly man cut the wood himself. He got the fire. He got the knife. He said, "Let's go." And he took 2 servants. He had to have a witness to that resurrection. He said, he took that son that he loved. He took that son that Sarah loved. And he marched on with Isaac for 3 days. You have 2 weeks. Put that rock in your purse and carry it with you to school. Carry it with you to work. And see how heavy it gets. This was heavy. This was heavy on him. Don't think it was a light thing. This was no light thing. But he was determined with each step to give this gift to God. He said, "What you're calling me to do, you see what's on my shoulders. You see what I'm carrying in my hand. But I'm going. And I'm going to go all the way with you, God." And Sarah was right there with him in spirit, I believe. She was not going to be left behind. I refuse to be left behind. If my husband's going to get a double portion from the Lord, I'm getting a double portion from the Lord. I am not going to be without the Spirit and the fullness of the Spirit in my life because I refuse to give up something in this temporal life that I love so much. Abraham deliberately built that altar. He had to lay those rocks out. Going up that mountain, Isaac was carrying the wood. And when he got there, he put everything in order. He had to watch his son. He laid the altar out. He took the wood off of Isaac's back. He laid the wood there. And then he took the rope and he bound his son. And Isaac led him. Do you see the love of the father? Do you see the love of the son? All to be obedient to God. Isaac loved his father. He trusted his father and he surrendered. Abraham loved God and he surrendered. He bound him. He had the strength to pick him up and lay him on the altar. He has not flinched one time. Not one time did He say, I love this child more than I do you. Not one time did He say, I will do this. I will not let you have reign over this. He kept on. And He did everything in order. Everything in order. There's not one place that it is recorded that He hesitated. That's why He's called the Father of Faith. He did not hesitate when God spoke to him. He did not draw back His hand until the command came. Will we be as willing as Abraham? God never wanted the death of Isaac. He wanted Abraham's heart completely. He wanted his love. What do we love more? The promise or the one who gives the promise? That's the question that you'll have to answer. I can't answer it for you. I can't be your Holy Spirit. God's been speaking to you all day about coming to the altar and bringing those things, not offering up the wrong sacrifice, but offering up what He's calling you to offer. Every one of you here has the Holy Spirit living in you. I don't have to tell you. It's not my job. That's His job in the earth today to do that. So you need to keep that rock. Keep it close to you. February 1st, I think, is the date, if I'm right, that we're going to take our rocks and build an altar. You have 2 weeks. Think about this. 2 weeks to prepare for us to be able to take that journey. And you know what, ladies? Gives you time to make arrangements with your own schedule. How many of us have a busy life? How many of us are always too busy? How many of us too busy to text back? We just had a little joke, but we're all busy. But when God calls you, then you make the arrangements. Carolyn can't come from Colorado. But we're talking about maybe we'll FaceTime her. I'm not trying to be funny. And sometimes I can be too heavy. I don't mean to be too heavy. I don't apologize for taking the things of the Lord so serious. I'll tell you what I take seriously. The responsibility to stand before you. I take it so seriously. And the charge given. Your lives, what I'm speaking to you is not to burden you down or to put you under the law. But what I'm speaking to you is to bring you to a place where you will be set free from those things and the things that are hindering you. I desire for us to be able to go forward. To go forward and to have the fire of God. Something that the Lord showed me 2 years ago, He started a new work in the women's ministry. 2 years ago, God started a new work in the women's ministry. He called Sheena and Chrissy. They have prayed. They have sown their lives, their hearts, and their prayers, and their love into every woman who would receive it. They have spoken to us. They have spoken truth to us. They have loved us. They have prayed for us. What I'm saying in that is I thought about how God's been working in the men for months. God spoke to me and He said, well, I've been working in you women for 2 years. So will you respond to the work God's been doing for you in 2 years? Will you respond to that on February 1st?